I think it's about that time, PSX.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I thought this episode was going to take place in an hour, so I am still trying to wake up.
So, no worries.
I was in my head thinking it was going to be 9 o'clock Central Standard Time, but I don't know. I'm trying to shake that old habit that you were here in the U.S. in the same time zone as me. So unfortunately, I'm no longer able to enjoy such luxuries this time because your ass is back in the Philippines.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a good evening for me. Good morning and good afternoon for so many more other people out there that will be coming in to listen. I'm back in the Philippines, of course, as PSX said, with my wife and our new son, and trying to settle in. I still have a little bit of a jet lag thing going on, but the team's been doing a great job trying to pivot around my busyness, my schedule.
Yeah.
And if you hear some crying in the background, I'll put myself on mute. If I can't answer, that's probably what's going on.
No worries. And again, just bear with us as I'm trying to get used to his time zone. But I want to do a quick shout out to the Wawa holders. Saw that you guys ripped it like 200% like a couple of days ago, so congrats, that was pretty gnarly. And then just before we start, just want to put a quick disclaimer for everybody that this podcast should not be considered as financial advice. The content of this broadcast here and or on any other platforms are for educational entertainment purposes. It's our own personal opinions. In order to make the best financial decision that suits your needs, please conduct your own research and seek the advice from a licensed financial advisor if necessary. Granted, I don't know any licensed financial advisors that know anything about blockchain, so I'm just going to put that out there. Moltres, dude, good morning, good evening. I forgot what time zone. No, you're in Eastern time, so it's morning for you too. Thanks for coming on, man. How's everything? How's your morning coming?
Yeah, morning, guys. Yeah, doing pretty fine. Just had like a big cup of coffee, and the second one is on its way. A bit tired, man. I think had a big weekend, but like you said, I'm very happy to see Wawa pumping as it should. Like, I think, man, it was overdue, to be honest. Like, we've been in this ecosystem for a while now, and these guys have been trying to build something very grassroots, so it's well deserved, man. So,
yeah, no, definitely. And then even because I follow them, and it's like it's almost been like they're not that loud yet. They ripped the loudest, I would argue.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's like everyone calls it like a meme coin. That for sure it's a meme coin, but like these people are also building stuff. It's not just like an ERC-20 token on Ethereum that does nothing. That's the funny thing too.
Yeah, I mean, all things considered with utility, would you consider it a meme coin? Because it doesn't, like, I've briefly looked into it and it doesn't feel like a meme coin, even though it says it's a meme coin.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm wondering as well. Like, I consider it a meme coin because, like, it's like the goal of the project is to make something funny and just have fun, which I think is what's the essence of meme coins, let's say. But they're trying to build what they are building something as well. So that's kind of interesting, and I'm very excited to see like how far this will go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm more excited, you know, and for the time being, Raccoon Supply has really started to pick up a little bit. I mean, my eyes have been watching you guys, and congrats to what you've been working with and where you are now. I have a real serious opinion that Raccoon Supply has been underexposed, all things considered, because you guys are now, what was it like a month ago? You guys just now started Shark Supply. But before we get into your project, I want to get to know you a little bit better. Where did you all start before the project, and how did you end up here? I guess if you want to kind of start from the beginning, let's start there.
Yeah, for sure. We can start from the very beginning when we started in crypto. I think I don't know why, but I'm very close to my brother, and the project we're doing is with my brother and one of our friend, and also all the community that's helping us. But I think we started back in 20 mid 2017, or maybe the first quarter of 2017. We started investing in crypto and just having some fun, and then we had some help some people like do interfaces for on the Binance Smart Chain, I think back in 2020, something like that. And then, but what really kicked off is when, I don't know what happened, to be honest. At the end of 2021, we were like, okay, what if we start what if we give utility to NFTs? Because the NFTs that we have for our Raccoon is basically owning a casino gaming platform. And that's basically what we wanted to do. We wanted to explore what's possible to do with the NFTs. And this is basically what we did and where the idea started from. We were involved in crypto and we just wanted to explore what we can do with NFTs. But the other thing is, I have a background in math and stuff like that and probabilities. So I was like, okay, I think the easiest thing that we could do on the blockchain is basically do gambling. So that's basically how it all started. And the other guy that's with us, it's a friend that did the art for the collection, and we added an AI model on top of it. And I don't know, man, it's, I don't know how to say it. I think everything went all together and it worked fine, but it was just a crazy idea from the start at the end of 2021, let's say.
I want to point out that the floor price for Raccoon Supply is indicative of the rev sharing that they've already received. So it's locked in value that's already been paid out. So I think a lot of people don't that may not be involved, that might be listening here now or later, aren't going to realize that that's where that valuation comes from.
Yeah, I think it's a very important point, because like I said a bit earlier, I didn't put much emphasis on it, but if you own a Raccoon NFT, basically you own the Raccoon.bet collection. Not the sorry, the not the collection, but the platform. So yeah, basically at the end of the day, it's a DAO that owns the platform, and every month what we do is when we're in profit, we just distribute the majority of the amount to the NFT holders. So at the end of the day, it's basically them that funded us to create this platform. So that's why it's built that way.
So who met? I'm curious. Who met who? Did you run into JG, or JG ran into you, or Zincome bumped into you? Crypto is a funny way of running into people. How did this whole relationship start with White Whale DeFi, the partnership? Who introduced who?
Yeah, so I actually looked into how it all started, and it's basically because of the one of the core member of the of Chihuahua. So it's Chi. Basically, he put us in contact with Sancam because we were building stuff onto a Chihuahua, and they were like, "Oh, I think it would be fun that you guys discuss with the White Whale team, which was Sancam." And then that's all it all started. It's like I think there were not many people building on Wawa this time, and then I think the connection happened there.
Did you ever did, let's see, and then was there ever a real direct collaboration, not with just Wawa, but with any other White Whale DeFi partners?
Do you mean if we ever did collaboration with other partners from like the yeah okay yeah so we did let me think, not even sure. I'm not quite sure, but at the moment we're in discussion with JG regarding maybe the Gravedigger onto the Wawa chain, but I don't think so far we've did any major collaboration with any of them, I think.
I'm still struggling the fact that you just mentioned, I think, I mean, did I understand that correctly? This whole project, what you're working on, it's just you and your brother and maybe one or two people just helping you with administrative
Yeah,
stuff.
that's
That's like,
pretty much it, I would say. Like my brother is the front end, I'm the back end. And then there's someone that works with the everything that's related to graphic design and stuff like that. But like I said, there's a bunch of people in the community that helps us. Like, for example, I see a Shark Protocol down there, which is Bruceman that's been supporting us from the start. I also see Alsayan down there with the rack picture, Terra Spaces, Alex Mason. Like, these people, like, it doesn't look that way, but like, they're part of the community, but they help us a lot with like all the small things that we don't have time to do. So it's been like that from the start. It's people around the project and the community that helps us. So it's a kind of a weird situation where, I don't know, they've been there for supporting us. So
does it feel like, I don't know, you can always appreciate the organic grassroots relationship building. I know that the nature of the product itself is just strictly gambling. Let's not beat around the bushes. I'd imagine that's what it is, unless there's something else behind that it's bringing to the table. Unless I miss anything,
The other thing is we build an NFT platform on Chihuahua a while ago. We also helped to build like a smart contract for Stargaze, which is the open edition minter, which is related to NFTs. So we are also really involved in NFTs and what we can do with NFTs. Because at the end of the day, sometimes you see an NFT, it's just a picture and it stops there, but that's not the truth. So that's another thing we're trying to explore. But I would say that 70% of what we do is related to gambling and how we can actually have randomness on chain, because it's something to be discussed, because most of the randomness comes from outside the blockchain and they bring the randomness on chain, whereas us, what we do is we create randomness on chain. But yeah, to answer the question, yeah, 70% of what we do is gambling.
Okay, all right. And I know, like, I did watch a little bit about the project that you were on our buddy Joe Cosmos's podcast. I'll nest that here in the here in a bit. But real quick, the one thing that I'm curious, like, you're on the East Coast. Are you in the States or Canada East Coast? Like,
yes, we're located in Ontario East Coast. So
okay. Yeah. I was wondering, it's like, that's not an American accent, that's or an East Coast accent. I was like, that sounds almost Canadian, so I wasn't sure. I don't think I asked that before.
Yeah, exactly. You were right. And then there's a part of our family that's French, so that's why we have some sort of accent. Because there's a part in Ontario, like a kind of a big part where there's French people actually, whereas like Ontario is mostly English people.
Oh my god. Is there, you know, what I was, you almost sounded like you were from Quebec.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's the funny thing is there's a lot of people that speaks French in Ontario. They call it like a Franco-Ontarian, something like that.
Really?
That's why we like when we discuss with people in French, it's like almost from Quebec, I'd say.
Okay, so that being said, I've been paying attention to Canadian politics. I mean, because Jerry and I, we have several acquaintances and friends out there that we've talked a lot about. I'm curious, and I know this. I would imagine this is why you've remained undoxed, but which brings me to two parts. One, how do you build trust by remaining anonymous? And then two, what the fuck is going on with your regulatory system right now? Because we might be going into politics here in a bit, because I got a bone to pick.
Yeah, we're for sure going to dig a bit into politics, and I'm going to ask you guys what do you think about Justin Trudeau, but...
We can go. Let's fucking go. I mean, let's get it started, dude.
But yeah, before we go there, like the main reason we remain like on docs, is because of gambling. And there's some regulation coming in Ontario, like related to mainly online gambling and stuff like that. But like... it's the best way to do it right now, because I don't know, we don't want to get into trouble, because we're trying to remain in the gray zone where, like, not everything, well, everything is legit when you're a DAO, which is kind of weird because we spoke with, like, attorneys to make sure that what we're doing is not illegal. It's not illegal if you're under a DAO, but, like, they advised us to not go, like, be entirely public and be, like, doxxed. So that's the main reason. And like you said, like, the main thing we wanted to do is, like, to gain trust from the community, like the large Cosmos community, because, like, what we did from the start is we want to remain, like, we want to remain grassroots and then just prove to the people that we're here for the good things. Like, there's a bunch of people that are ducks, and at the end of the day, they're just gonna rug. And, like, I can take a small example, like, from the start when we started Rack, like, we had, like, all of the tokens in our wallet, and we could have rugged for, like, I think, like, 400,000, and we weren't doxxed. We could just go away with the money and that's it. And that's not the essence. Like, you can be doxxed and still do, like, shady things, and be undoxxed and still do good things. That's what we're trying to prove there, let's say.
Jerry, you had your hand up.
Yeah, well, he was talking about random number generators off-chain, and Moltres, you said something about doing it on-chain. I'm assuming that has something to do with the acronym that's in your white paper, GANs, which some people might be confused by. I have a basic understanding of it, but it'd be nice to get some clarity, because from my perspective looking at it, it is it's essentially has to do with the randomness of the game itself. But can you explain the acronym GAN, the GANs?
Yeah, so we can go into details regarding it. So basically, GANs is like a generative adversarial network. So this is basically related to AI and deep learning, machine learning. So what's a GAN is basically like a model that creates some sort of a new space or a new world where they create something generative. So let's say, for example, that's basically what we did for the Raccoon NFTs. So you have your underlying PFP, like the art, the design. And then what we did is we added like some funky style on top of it. And what a GAN does is, well, you can do a bunch of things, but very simply, what a GAN does, it's an AI model, a deep learning model. You can see it as like there's two people fighting against each other where they try to get to an equilibrium state. So it's like you're trying to generate something new, but you're not trying to diverge too much from what the AI model is learning from. So that's basically very roughly how GAN works. But like what's very interesting in this part, like we spoke about randomness, but like there would not be any AI if there were no randomness, because everything in AI is based on randomness, and we can discuss a bit about this later. But yeah, that's basically how a GAN works. You can do whatever you want with it, but like it's a generative model. So what we did for our like NFTs is we started with a base and we tried to add some funky style on top of them. So, and that's what the model did. I don't know if the explanation was clear enough.
It's clear to me, but I'm also wondering, are you utilizing the same technology in your smart contracts that control the games as well?
No, so how it works basically in the smart contracts is, you know, there's a bunch of things on the blockchain, like for where our randomness comes from is basically from crypto prices, liquidity, and mainly these type of things, but also other things that are on the blockchain. And like at the end of the day, when you try to create randomness on the blockchain, you need to make sure that it comes from random places, and that's basically how it works. Like if I told you, like, are you able to predict what's going to be the price of BTC in the next 5 minutes? Well, if you were able to always do it like 95% of the time correctly, then you would be rich right now. So that's basically how our randomness works. It's not related to GANs, but mainly from random sources that you can generate from a blockchain.
Well, that makes sense. Go ahead, PSX.
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned AI. I mean, do you have and so you said you have a mathematician background, and then now I'm hearing AI being brought into this. I get so confused with what is considered AI. I mean, I've been paying attention to several other projects, but it doesn't feel like it's quite there. I'm seeing AI projects on blockchain trying to market themselves, but as a project with, like, you know, ChatGPT, something similar to that of Midjourney. But what kind of throws me in for a loop is that it feels like they have this token to be utilized for their project, and they're marketing the token first, prior before showing me the actual demo of the product or service that they're trying to provide. I mean, help me understand this, or where to set my expectation on AI with blockchain, because it feels like, are we trading it, or are you actually trying to sell the services to you know, the average user, because Jerry will tell you that we're heavy on how we use AI, but it's we're not so much as concerned as the tokenomics or whatever that is. It's like we're creatives behind the scenes. So what is AI's, like, where's the real value proposition here? I mean, not for your project per se, but from what I've witnessed throughout the blockchain, like, beyond AI as an opponent that you're playing against.
Yeah, I think it's a very bad question. I think I have some path to go from there, but just to start from the beginning of your question. So basically, I have a master in deep learning, which is AI. It's mostly like most of the research. I also did research at school and also for a company. And I did research for a generative model, which we discussed GANs a bit earlier. So I think I've worked in the field and did research for like 6 years. And after that, I decided to go full-blown into crypto. But to answer your question, like, it really depends what you want to do with AI. Like, if we take a very great example within the Cosmos ecosystem, it's a cache, which is an AKP. Like, what they're trying to do is that it's a peer-to-peer, let's say, that you're providing like GPUs, because when you train an AI model, you need GPUs because it's doing a lot of calculation, and the best way to do it is with GPUs or TPUs. And that's a good way of like branding your project as AI. But when it comes to actually doing AI on the blockchain, we've did some tests, not training an AI model on chain, but actually using an AI model on chain. That we did it. It's not something too complicated, because when your AI model is trained, what does this mean? It's basically when an AI model just learns from what it sees. So if you're feeding, like, let's say we'll take, for example, ChatGPT, which is a very powerful model, like, it's feeding a lot of information. It's a language model at the end of the day. So it's learning from what it reads, and it makes many, many connections between the words and like what this text means and stuff like that. So you can see an AI model that it learns from layers. So it's going to start from a very noisy text. It doesn't even understand like words at the end of the day, because an AI model is only able to manipulate numbers. So it's starting from like the bottom up. And then at the end of the day, what ChatGPT does, it sees a bunch of random numbers, but it's able to actually like process ideas and like, what does this text mean and stuff like that. So to train an AI model, it takes a lot of time. ChatGPT, like, I wouldn't even be surprised if it costs like more than 100 million to train this model. This, it's enormous, let's say. But if you want, you wouldn't be able to actually train an AI model on chain, but you could use an AI model on chain. And I'm trying to remember what project I saw. I don't remember exactly. Maybe you guys will know a bit more about it. But it's a project where people train AI model to predict the price, let's say, of BTC or stock and stuff like that. And people are able to use these models to basically predict like the price of something. So it's some sort of like a marketplace where you train your model and then you show that your AI model is able to predict the price of a stock or BTC and stuff like that. But it goes through a token. And when your model is better than another one, let's say you get to second place, first place, you get more of this token. So it really depends. Like, I feel like, if it's just my opinion, it really depends what you're trying to do. Because if you're trying to train models on chain, I don't think it will be ever possible. I don't want to talk to like, pronounce myself on this, but like, there's so many things you can do with AI. Like you guys said, like, for myself, how I see it is like ChatGPT and like a Midjourney, it's just gonna empower you to do things faster and better. So I'm not even sure I answered the question correctly.
Yeah, no, no, no.
I think you're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
I just have another caveat here. So an AI-taught prime minister theoretically could perform better than your current one, right?
I mean, well, I mean, I think all things considered, like, we need an AI that any AI would perform better than our current president, all things considered.
Wait, no, Biden and Trudeau are like the A-team, brother.
Yeah, well, one's asleep, murmuring, and then he's got a VP who kind of speaks in rhyme. It's so fucking weird. Sometimes I'm wondering if she's trying to use AI and it's not going the way she wants, because like every time when I hear her talk, it's like she's talking like, oh, well, the bus goes this way, and then tomorrow is today, and today is today after tomorrow, and then what the fuck, but with what Holter has just said, so we don't have to worry about any type of like Terminator or post-apocalypse nuclear being strike. I mean, I wouldn't put it past with how dumb our current leadership. I mean, I'll be honest with you. That shit can't come sooner than we I'd even be able to give it credit for. I'm just saying. And for anybody who voted for these clowns, like, they're still love you, but wow.
You get what you pay for. Or whatever, something like that. But
yeah.
How about them truck drivers, though?
Oh, man, that was the funniest thing.
Dude, are you talking about the truck? Are you talking about the truck and convoys up in Canada?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was wondering about that, seeing that you're in Canada. You know, because there was a story that there was a story where the Canadian government shut down, like cut off all financial access to the protest, which blew my mind. And I mean, that puts you in a bit of a dangerous situation, because I mean, they went full on Nazi, just cutting people's financial services off. Like, is there a contingency if something happens with Raccoon Supply, or is that just the general beauty of blockchain, where that's been covered?
Decentralized.
Right.
Yeah, it didn't affect us. But like you said, I think you phrased it well. Like, it's like they use the power to actually control people where it didn't make any sense. Like, why would you use something? Like, I felt like they used it for the. Took it for granted, and they just use the power to do something that doesn't make any sense. But the thing is, I always wonder, in Canada, I don't know, like, I feel like it's a bit different in Europe when you see people protesting in France and stuff like that. It's like, I feel like sometimes people just lay down and they're like, okay, I think the government is right and what they're doing is right for us. I don't know, like, how you guys feel, but that's how I feel. Like, they're using the power and people just, okay, that's fine. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but like, it's kind of weird that they let the government do whatever the fuck they want, so.
But buddy, I live in Texas, man. We don't respond well to authorities.
Well, crypto's all about, it's a punk rock movement, so to speak. It's like Rage Against the Machine, fuck the banking system, and let's be in charge of our own destinies. And I think anytime, I would say a majority of people in crypto would be pro-protest, pro-freedom of speech, pro all these things that we take for granted a lot of times in the U.S., but what's weird is some people were getting silenced. That's the whole truck driver thing. They were essentially getting silenced because they're, and PSX, you said funding, but I think that they're, did they shut off their bank accounts or something like that? Did they go through the bank?
No. So, that was the interesting part, because I actually donated to the trucker convoy, and then it was through a Christian services that was, and then plus other people were doing it too, where we were sending cash to the truckers, because like it was to cover like their food, their basic needs and necessities, such as like
gas,
water,
them trucks.
Yeah, gas for the trucks. I mean, everything you can think of, just like basic necessities. And you know, if you could, because I think it was coming up on the holidays as well, like you could send like cool, like little small gift packages, just kind of wishing them well. And then And then I got something in, I remember I getting something in a newsletter that like my money got refunded, which was really interesting. And I tried to reach out to see what was going on. And then that's when news got out that, that the government had ordered the banking institute to cease all services to everyone who was involved, and how, and the fact that it even got to that point, it was like, I think it was like a week, not even a week. I think it was like a few days later. That's when like, people started using Bitcoin to transact in, which was huge use case to even go to even go toward blockchain technology. And then I remember Trudeau making a public speech, really just trying to hammer down on the quote unquote dangers of Bitcoin and other other crypto alternatives as well. And then he's got that. Because I do follow Canadian politics quite often here and there. And Moltres, do you know who I'm talking about? She's that secretary lady of the finances. And I'll have to send you a clip, but every time when she's in the parliament speaking, her voice is just, oh God, she's like the Kamala Harris of Canada. It's so fucking annoying. Like she's always starting off with that, Mr. Speaker. And then goes on a tangent. Like, Moltres, do you know who I'm talking about?
No, man, I have no idea. The thing is, I'm hearing you speak right now, and I'm pretty sure you know a bit, but like a lot more than I do about Canadian politics. Because, like, I don't know. To me, there's so much nonsense in there that sometimes I just like don't even look at it. So I think you're much more knowledgeable than I am, even though I live in this country.
I feel the same way you do about American politics, because it gets to a point where they're just bickering back and forth to bicker and nothing's getting done. And except for what's not on the news, bills are getting passed that aren't even televised that give them pay raises and everything like that. I mean, I don't know. I don't like big government. And well, I think freedom of the economy is, and that's why crypto is so interesting. Because there's more, it seems like there's more freedom. So before regulation comes anyway, it seems like more freedom, but someday it's not going to be that way.
I don't know if I can even take the regulation conversation any more seriously than the government, be it here or in Canada, all things considered. But when I look in the, when I take a moment and glance at like where the conversation's at, it just seems like everybody's too busy trying to debate like how many fucking genders there are. Yeah, I fucking went there.
Oh yeah, that's so much more important than the economy.
I think Trudeau is still wondering about it too.
Like big time. He's got to make sure he's got everybody covered in the what do you call it? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
everyone's represented.
Yeah, I mean, here's a question for you, Moltres. Like, did you just one day wake up like you just decided to identify as a raccoon and then poof, rack supply?
Yeah, exactly. And I went full blown. I'm not even living in a home, man. I'm living in trash and just going there. And it's that's how I identify myself. But I have a question about regarding you guys discussed a bit about crypto and government. Like, do you guys feel like they're not even trying to understand what's happening and what it's doing, but instead just putting like laws and legislations just to not stop everything, but like, even the fact they don't understand, they just want to, I don't know, like put.
I don't think they're trying to understand. They're just trying to figure out how to control it. And I think they figured it out with the ETFs, because if you have these huge companies that have these huge positions in Bitcoin and ETFs, huge positions, they control the market, and they don't need to have regulation if they have huge holdings, or they can pull the strings.
And I could probably try to give one. I know I'm pretty sure there's more to more of an answer that the question that you asked probably deserves more. But the unfortunate situation overall, and this, I don't think it's synonymous with just the United States, but everyone. Is that you have too many politicians still stuck in the old TradFi, and whether they're trying to learn it or not, the real problem that you're running into is that you have too many politicians who don't understand the technology. So brace for those who are going to pass bad legislations or regulations that you know, you're probably not going to agree to. More likely, like anyone outside of the crypto ecosystem, they're not going to really care because it's not like they have a stake in it. Oh, wait until like the next bull run, they're going to be like, oh, I want in. But hey, wait a second. You know, you can't get in for X, Y, and Z because legislation had passed, but you're complaining about it now because you want in, but you didn't pay attention from the get-go. So I would say that it's a two-sided conversation because I, you know, what's crypto's current market cap entirety? Like what? Just slightly over 1 trillion right now?
1.6 last time I checked.
Okay. So that's a very small, small piece of the pie in the world, in the global economy. And imagine that getting a little bigger and a little bigger, but for more people wanting to jump in, they can't because, you know, they weren't really paying attention. Is it to say that it was their fault? I guess it depends on who you ask. But then you also have, I mean, we're fortunate that we have a few representatives here in the United States. You know, there's one from Wisconsin, Wilmus, and then you got Ted Cruz, and then there was another guy from Kentucky. I mean, I've been paying real close attention because, you know, these states have been trying to push for something that's more efficient, that even currently the old banks can't perform at this certain level, but also provide the type of not just security, but transparency. I mean, imagine, dude, if the feds operate on blockchain, we wouldn't even have to keep pushing for an audit. We could just see everything. I mean, Even with FTX, when the whole shit show went down, like everybody could see where the Ethereum was moving. So something was up. I'm just saying. But does that someone answer your question, or do I go too far off the rails there?
No, I think it actually answers the question. Like, but I feel like it's most of the time the reason is like technology is moving way faster than legislation. So I think that's an issue. But like, I don't know. I feel like legislation is so big in the US, like compared to Canada. Like Canada has been as a BTC ETF since I think the late 2020, maybe early 2021, something like that. Like maybe they didn't understand it, but they actually listed it like enable ETF. So I don't know, man. It's I think the technology is too fast for government, that's for sure.
And just to reiterate, until we get more representatives who are not just pro, but have a full understanding, because I don't even have a full understanding of blockchain, but have the fundamental understanding and some kind of appreciation for it, only then can you expect a more productive conversation at the national level on where blockchain fits in the world's economy. If that makes sense. But until then, I'd have my expectations down to like, I don't know, a near zero. All things considered, we're still having an argument with how many genders there are. I know, I went full circle again.
Well, I'll tell you what, you got BlackRock, the ETF stuff going on. BlackRock puts a lot of money into these elections. All of a sudden, overnight, all these people that were anti-crypto will all of a sudden be pro crypto because the power shifted over to these big dogs and they accumulated. And, you know, once those ETFs are live and BlackRock has, they've already accumulated a ton of Bitcoin. People might not know it, but they already did. Even though it's not in the ETF yet, they'll sell the news as soon as the ETFs are good. And then they'll sell everything they accumulated. And then once it gets dumped, they'll accumulate more at the bottom. And that's how they're like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of how I see it from the outside looking in and also from the inside looking in.
Here's an idea that I want to throw your way. First, there was a conversation. There was a hearing in Congress about with J.P. Morgan and Elizabeth Warren in Congress about how I'll post it here momentarily, where he quote said, "If I was the government, I shut it all down." So either A, he really hates it, or B, like we're doing something right here, we're onto something. But then again, Elizabeth Warren, she kind of sees herself as a Native American, but we won't go there. But an idea for Raccoon Supply, I'm wondering, like, there's a betting website where you can bet like who's getting elected. I'll send you that link here as well. or the next upcoming residency is low. If you get it right, you know, like it goes up 10 cents and it, like it's like, I think it's a max or a minimum of like $20, but it's not, you know what I'm talking about? But I thought, you know, all things considered, like, wouldn't that be a great way to get people involved in politics just through a betting system?
I think it's funny that you talk about this. It's we actually have a smart contract ready to go on chain to do this. So what we did is like, we did like some sort of multi-choice outcome of a question. So let's say you ask a question like, do you think like Bitcoin's ETF is going to go live? Let's say, is it going to be live by March 20, 2024, let's say? Then you have like, you can answer yes or no. And it could go a bit more like to deeper questions. Let's say we could ask like, how many years in jail you think Bankman-Fried is going to go for? Let's say it's going to be like 0 to 10 years, 10 to 20, 20 to 50, or like 100 plus. So we actually have like something almost ready. Like it's just on front end side, but it's something we've been working on. And I think it's a good way, like you said, to get people involved into these kind of things. It's not only a question. It's mostly like you're trying to understand like what people think, and it's being reflected in the answers to actually what are people thinking about a question. So it's very interesting, and I think I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's predicted.org is the website. I'm going to nest it here momentarily so you can take a look. But, it's definitely got, I mean, Rack Supply has got some really cool opportunities here. Seeing that your position is strictly betting or gambling as more. Going into your project, is there... I'm wondering, because I think it's pretty obvious that Jerry and I come from, are originated from the Luna Classic community. Is there any chance that you guys may be coming over or not? Or what are we? What kind of roadmap are we looking at?
Yeah, so that's been on the roadmap. I'll be entirely honest. It's been on the roadmap since, I think, August this year. But we never actually had like full time to do it, because Luna Classic is a bit different than other chains. But like right now we're working on version 4 of RaccoonBet, and it's including Luna Classic. So, but there's a bit of work to still be done there, because you guys are degens. Like we've been part of this community as well. So we for sure really want to go there, but it takes a bit more work, let's say.
1000%. When you say more work, I'm assuming you're talking about the tax, which is overlaid on top of the chain instead of being in the transaction itself. Is that right?
Yeah, and yes. And what we thought of is we could have like our own mechanism of actually doing the tax. That's something that we could do. But like, we're kind of waiting of like everything to be streamlined regarding like the tax and the burn and stuff like that. I don't know, like, do you guys think it will ever happen to be like something very streamlined, and it would be as easy as deploying, let's say, on Migaloo and stuff like that?
It's moving in that direction. It's getting worked on right now. The community did vote a yes on a signal prop to put it into the transaction itself, which would alleviate a lot of the, you know, extra code that has to be written for Luna Classic specifically. Maybe not all of it, but when it comes to the tax itself, it would alleviate that issue.
So that would definitely be very helpful, because one of the things that we had issues with is to actually use a Terra Station wallet, but now we've streamlined this process and it's pretty easy to use. So I think we're getting pretty close, and I think early 2024, we should be there.
Q1 or Q2?
I would say end of Q1, because we're releasing Shark's official version end of Q1. So it really depends like how fast it'll go. Like so far, it's been going very well on Shark and Raccoon.bet. So yeah, I would say like end of Q1, early Q2.
It was Shark protocol. Like I was trying to play with it earlier, a couple of weeks ago. It's still in its beta, alpha, or it's not even in the beta state. It's currently in alpha, right? I mean, because exactly. I wasn't able to connect to it. So what are we, two parts. What separates Shark from Raccoon? Because it feels like it's an extension of it. And two, I see like it's going to interact with BTC and Ethereum. So something else is going on here because I can't connect to it until you guys are ready for it. But where do I set my expectation on that one? Like,
yeah, like you phrased it, I think it's an extension and we're trying to create some, like the idea is to create a new product/project where it can live from itself. Like we want to make it like fully autonomous. We think that's the reason of blockchain. Like you can create a project and something and it can live on its own on the blockchain. That's what we're trying to do with Shark. But like you said, it's been an alpha version, I think, in late November. In the middle of November. But the fact is, the way it was designed at this point is it was costing us a bit too much of money for the oracles to feed the Bitcoin prices into the blockchain, let's say. But like we're working on new contracts for it to be like cheaper, let's say, to live on the blockchain for the beta version. And beta version is going to be in January.
I'm wondering, this may be a misuse of the word bridge, but you know, when I see Cosmos right next to it, is Shark Protocol going to be acting like a bridge between BTC, Ethereum, and into Cosmos? Or is that just a more, am I just way off basis?
Yeah, so it's not going to be a bridge because basically the idea is we want, like, you know, when you work with the prediction market, us, like, the faster time frame you can bet on is like, what's going to be the price of BTC like in the next 5 minutes? Is it going to be higher or above, lower or above, let's say, 41K in 5 minutes? So these prices right now comes from sexes because we need to make sure that we have enough volatility when it comes to the price and like make it like more unpredictable, let's say. But it's not going to be a bridge. You're betting on the asset itself. But the cool thing actually about Shark is, like I said a bit earlier, is we want it to live on its own on the blockchain. And when you're going to stake Shark, you're going to be the house. And you'll also be providing some, like, let's say you're betting that the BTC is going to be higher than 42K in 5 minutes, but there's no one actually taking the counter bet. How Shark works is the Shark staker are going to open the position to actually counter your bet. And when it wins, everything goes back to the house. So, yeah, it's not a bridge, but you can bet on it.
That's actually a cool concept, man. That just sounds fun. It's a price prediction game based on the price fluctuations of Bitcoin. That just seems very interesting because there are people reading the charts all the time and looking at Bitcoin because it basically drives the whole entire crypto market. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be interested in that, I think.
Here's another idea or in a question into it. Do you think, could it be possible to be using flash loans on this protocol? I mean, if you're going to be betting, I mean, why not get a loan for it to see if you can get it right and then pay it back in one snap of the finger?
Leverage betting, just be riskier.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well like give them the addiction, like feed them that, that dopamine hit of euphoria.
Yeah, why not? I mean, school loans, and now that we have crypto loans for betting.
Right. Well, it makes sense because, like, I mean, flash loans is becoming more synonymous with white whale DeFi, and then, you know, its nature of arbitrage. I mean, I could see it here, or is that something that
that's already in plan? So basically, PSX is asking, how are you guys thinking about out degenning the degens on this?
But I think if we're using like does Biden is currently like removing all the loans that have been done for like education and stuff like that, so we could use like education loans to actually bet. But no, the thing is what we're gonna do is we're gonna leverage Ginkgo, where you can deposit like LSDs and actually as collateral and do a loan off of it. So that's what we're gonna do to actually increase the leverage, but it's not possible to do flash loans because flash loans only work when everything happens within a block. Whereas a price prediction, given the fact like the smallest time frame you can bet on is 5 minutes, well, 2 minutes and 30 seconds, but you cannot do a flash loan because it's more than one block, let's say.
So I love that you're giving LSDs utility because I'm all about that. And I think that's super cool because I imagine because you're looking in that direction that you're talking to JG about this. Am I right on that?
Yeah, because like you said, like I think LSDs is very important. I think it's still not well understood by everyone because like the simple is, I think the principle is not that complicated, is that let's say you get your LSDs and then all the rewards are accumulated inside the contract and then the value of your token increases with respect to the rewards and you can trade it on the DEX. So I think people need to actually understand a bit more what are LSDs and why there's so much value in there. But like you said, I think like the guys like JG and the guys from Backbone, like I think they're playing on something big. And the fact that they're bringing NFTFi into it, like it's a very great idea. And I think it's just a matter of time that everything pops in this, in their project. So.
Trying to educate communities or end users outside of the ecosystem about its value proposition. One of the things that that CENTCOM we were in a space with, and he was pretty receptive to a lot of feedback, but you know, maybe consider like implementing, and it's going to take a lot of time and resources and energy just to even put this one through, just to give you a heads up, but some kind of like tutorial. I mean, since you're already gamifying blockchain, I would think, and it might be premature to assume this, but I would think that you play video games, you know, at a much earlier stage in your life, right? Or now?
I'm still playing video games.
Okay, cool. So none of us have really grown up. So, you know, there's like certain titles and franchises out there where they walk you through how to play the game, like tutorials, like little pop-up boxes.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And it's something we've tried to do for Raccoon the Bet. And like, I feel like sometimes you just assume that things are doing this and that in DeFi and also in gambling and I don't know how to phrase it, but I think what you're saying is right. Like there's a lot of education that needs to be done, but like there's so many people that don't want to read and they don't care actually. They just want to make money. But at the end of the day, like most of the things are gambling to in my opinion, but
Well, I would say it's more so to the benefit of the project itself. So when anybody starts complaining or giving you shit, you know, that's also a mitigator to saying, hey, did you actually take the time to read and go through the tutorial, like these pop-up box, you know, but instead the end user decided to skip everything and just try to figure out this. I know guys are more guilty of it than women are. Like we don't read instructions.
Yeah, I think you're actually right. Because like, I'm just thinking when I'm playing like a new video games, I don't know if you guys play the Diablo 4, but like...
Yeah, who hasn't? That game is broken, yeah. By the way. Just saying.
It's shit. Man. It's, I don't know how, like they fucked up, but like, do you guys actually read anything in video games? Like myself, I tried to get wrecked. And it's the same thing with DeFi. Like I lose money and then at some point I'm going to understand it. And I'm like, oh, okay, that works. And then maybe I'm going to read. I don't know about you guys.
No, that's exactly it. It's like we learn better by making mistakes, even at the own detriment of our own financial situation.
I can't tell you how many times I've been rugged by not reading.
So we're on the same page on this.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. Like, I mean, I don't know if that's, I would imagine that like the female demographics are more going to be more inclined to read now that, you know, with crypto. I mean, I wish I had the numbers to even suggest it, but you know, the female demographics is slowly, if not rapidly, growing. But I'm going to assume that it's just slowly growing, just in general. But for the male counterparts, like, dude, like none of us fucking read.
That's because we can build shit without reading instructions. All right.
Right. Well, because we, what was it? It's like the classic, you know, when you took out mom's vacuum cleaner and you took it apart, you didn't even read the instructions. You just pull it out without any consideration of like, hey, mom's probably going to need this sooner. But you decided to grab a screwdriver, take it apart and then put it back together just to see how it works.
And I think that was the best definition of like, even when we're growing up and we're younger, we just want to open things oh, maybe we fucked up and we're not able to put it together afterward. But like, I don't know. I feel like it's much more fun and you understand like differently when you just try to break something or try to understand it, even though you're losing money or time. I think you, it's experience, let's say.
For the record, yeah. I did lose some money on rack supply because, you know, I just like connect wallet here, put money there. How does this game work? Just press enter. Like, oh,
stuff. You're the reason why the rev share works, bro.
Yeah, I'm the exit liquidity, basically.
But I have a question for you guys. Like, let's say we're taking gambling, like, as an example. Like, you bring, like, heads or tails. So, for sure, it's 50% of the time is going to go ads, and then 50% of the time is going to go tails. But, like, you can have, like, very crazy combination where you have, like, four times in a row tails, which is, like, one in I don't know how many times this can happen. But, like, I feel like when you're gambling, you're losing, like, your money, like, right away. Like, if you're putting $10 and you lose $10. Whereas, like, in crypto, most of, like, meme tokens and other, like, almost any tokens are Ponzi. Like, you need to get there early to get out faster when it gets to the top, but you're not losing your money. But sometimes I feel like when myself, I like to invest, like, in meme coins, shit coins, and I still go on Binance Smart Chain to do these kind of things. But I feel like it's gambling. I don't know how you guys feel about it, like about these coins.
Oh, it's either gambling or entertainment because, like you said, you have to. It's like, can I get out before they honeypot me or rug me? I mean, it's like, can I beat these guys at their own game? I mean, they're beating everybody anyway. They're the house, right? So they're still going to beat everybody because they got in before you did because they didn't pay for their tokens, a lot of them. But it's a game, yeah. That's how I look at it. It's entertainment.
Yeah, I don't treat betting and investing as mutually exclusive. It's one and the same. They're both going to share characteristics of risk and volatility. So, you know, I think it's a bit asinine to even treat them as separately differently from each other when in fact it's one and the same, just that, you know, some may view investment as like, oh, it's more of a longer play versus a betting. It's like quick, easy in and out, like, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Approach.
PSX, there is a vast difference between a random meme coin created off of something that Elon Musk said versus Bitcoin, though. Bitcoin, you can at least read the chart and be like, 80% chance it's going to go down, 20% chance it's going to go up. It might go up, but I don't know. I can short this right now. You know, you can read the chart and you can look at history and you can kind of make a probability call. Whereas in a meme coin, you can read the chart all you want. It doesn't matter what the probability call is, because if it's a Ponzi, it's a Ponzi.
Well, I would argue that Ponzi's are natural characteristics of any financial system, whether it be in Bitcoin or crypto in general. And I would say it's currently the system that we're stuck in, you know, if you're lucky, like the bank that you're banking with at least has 10% of reserves. So I would say,
no, you're right. Banks are guilty of that stuff too. And hell, there was a guy named Bernie one time that made off with a bunch of people's money. Remember that?
Yeah. We're about to go there again. I would expect to hear the next year or so, but we're coming up to the end of the hour. Moltres, I do want to thank you and Rack Supply, Shark Protocol. Guys, give those guys a follow for more updates when those are going to release. Jared, do you have any last words?
Yeah, I saw Shark down there. I give that one a follow for you there, Moltres. And I'm going to try, like I heard Elon's making video a thing on these spaces. So you might see my ugly face sometime in the future, maybe.
And just one last note, we do have an episode coming up in closing, kind of revisiting an old friend back in the old Luna Classic days, Mr. Zardar. So keep an eye open up for that one for more updates. And Moltres, I'll give you the last word and then we'll close it up.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks, and I don't know, man. I had fun. I think it was a very fun like podcast / space. So thanks a lot for inviting me here. And like again, I think I told you guys like I think how you guys think is very close to how I think. So that was very fun to discuss with you guys. So thanks a lot for taking the time for inviting me and discussing like what we've been building.
Absolutely. And for everybody else, have a good rest of your Monday and or Tuesday if you're in the Philippines. And we'll see you guys next time.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth. Sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth. Sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats. And then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats. And if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth. Sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Channel Spaces.